Tonight, on the world stage, President Biden at the G7 talking tough on China and sharing new details about his upcoming meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Putin telling NBC News exclusively he's ready to work with Biden. Search for a suspect. The city of Austin on high alert after a mass shooting in the entertainment district injures 14 people. One person in custody, one still at large. The unfriendly skies. Passengers called in to help after a fight breaks out on a cross-country flight.
Drop males to the front of the aircraft to handle the problem passenger.
It happened the same day TSA screened a record number of passengers since the pandemic began. Will there be more incidents as summer travel heats up? American crossroads. Immigration judges overwhelmed by the migrant crisis. The political pressure they now say they're facing. Cold cases. America's reopening means the return of the common cold. How to protect yourself and your family. And space race. How much would you spend to go to space with a billionaire? I'll tell you how many millions someone just paid to do just that.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Good evening. It is Joe Biden's first major outing on the world stage as president of the United States. He's meeting with G7 leaders in the UK for tough talks about the global economy, climate policies, and the pandemic. He's also trying to rebuild relationships with some of our allies. It comes ahead of one of his biggest foreign policy tests yet, a meeting with Russia's President Vladimir Putin. And tonight, we know more about the ground rules governing that summit and what President Biden will do right after it's over. Chief White House correspondent Peter Alexander is traveling with the president and starts us off now from Falmouth, England.
In the first foreign gathering of the post-Trump era, the only drama has been in the skies. President Biden tonight trying to show that America and its allies are working from a shared playbook.
As we say back in the States, we're on the same page.
Getting this endorsement from the French president.
I think that what you demonstrate is that leadership is partnership.
Mr. Biden deferring to Emmanuel Macron when asked whether he's convinced the G7 leaders that the U.S. is back.
Definitely.
That commitment to cooperation here is key to the president's strategy ahead of next week's high-stakes summit with Vladimir Putin, who in his exclusive interview with NBC News says relations with the U.S. are at a historic low.
We have a bilateral relationship that has deteriorated to its lowest point in recent years.
Putin praising former President Trump as extraordinary and talented, saying President Biden is radically different, a career politician, and dismissing Mr. Biden's assessment that the former KGB officer is a killer.
This is not something I worry about in the least.
While Putin is trying to set the tone for their meeting, the White House is laying out the terms, a larger working session and a smaller one, before a solo news conference by the U.S. president, unlike the friendly stage Mr. Trump and Putin shared in Helsinki in 2018. The U.S. today also leading the charge in an effort to counter China's rising influence, with President Biden urging world leaders to call out Beijing for its use of forced labor and unfair trade practices. On tap for the Bidens tomorrow, a trip to Windsor Castle to visit the Queen, who joined the group for a reception and a photo op Friday, delivering this royal quip.
Are you supposed to be looking as if you're enjoying
it? And Peter Alexander joins us now from Falmouth, England. Peter, preventing future pandemics was also discussed.
Yeah, that's right, Jose. President Biden is urging the other leaders here to help strengthen the world's healthcare infrastructure so it'll be better able to mobilize a quicker response in case of future pandemics. Jose?
Peter Alexander in Falmouth, England, thank you. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is traveling with the president. He'll talk to our Andrea Mitchell tomorrow about the upcoming summit with Vladimir Putin. We'll have highlights tomorrow on MSNBC and Nightly News. And we turn now to Texas, where there is a manhunt underway for a gunman who opened fire in a packed downtown street early this morning. The shooting is part of a disturbing trend sweeping our nation's cities. Morgan Chesky reports from Austin.
Overnight, chaos in Austin, Texas.
Watch out!
Police pushing through crowds scattered by gunshots, turning the city's famed 6th Street into an emergency triage. Even at 1 a.m., the block's so packed with people.
Protect the sidewalk! Protect the sidewalk!
For first responders struggle to reach victims. Some officers putting the wounded inside their own cruisers.
Leg injuries with tourniquet supply, one arm injury, one major, one to the chest.
The gunman gone, but not after wounding 14 people, leaving two in critical condition.
We have developed suspects in this case. There are two male suspects. I'm not going to release any further information because the investigation is very much ongoing.
The Austin shooting coming just hours after this scene in Dallas, where a gunman's bullets injured five, including a four-year-old boy. And last night in Savannah, Georgia, another mass shooting left eight people wounded and another dead. In Cleveland, the death toll even higher. A burst of gunfire injuring six and killing three people. Three mass shootings in less than 12 hours. A deadly trend that usually goes up during the summer months. And experts warn this season could be worse. In Austin, those witness to the violence left stunned and saddened with a frightening reality.
It's not the first shooting I've seen downtown. Probably not going to be the last.
Morgan, how close are authorities to making an arrest?
Yeah, Jose, just in the last few minutes, Austin police did confirm they've arrested one of those suspects. Another remains at large. As for this shooting that happened on this very block, they're calling it an isolated incident between two separate parties. Jose?
Morgan Chesky in Austin, thank you very much. We're learning more tonight about a terrifying struggle aboard a Delta flight yesterday that involved an off-duty flight attendant. Guad Venegas has details, including the pilot's desperate plea for help.
The skies weren't so friendly on Delta Flight 1730 Friday night. The pilot turning to passengers for help during the cross-country trip from Los Angeles to Atlanta.
We'd like all strong males to the front of the aircraft to handle the problem passenger.
Moments earlier, the unruly passenger, an off-duty Delta flight attendant, yelling and struggling with others mid-flight next to the cabin door.
Everyone was completely shaken up. They were screaming. People thought, like, when they said the oxygen mask, people thought our plane was, like, going down. It was extremely scary.
Delta Airlines stating the flight diverted to Oklahoma City. The aircraft landed without incident, and the passenger was removed by law enforcement. The incident comes as the TSA set a new pandemic record, clearing more than 2 million passengers on Friday. Just weeks ago, the FAA proposed new enforcement actions, fining passengers up to $15,000 for interfering with or assaulting flight attendants.
Shame on the passengers who have made this flight a living hell for the flight attendants.
With more passengers in the sky, the FAA says they've already received approximately 2,900 reports of unruly behavior by passengers this year, the majority of those involving travelers refusing to wear masks. The FAA saying it plans to enforce a zero-tolerance policy for passengers who cause disturbances, hoping to crack down on unruly behavior now before it becomes a pandemic of its own.
And Guad joins us now. Guad, what are we learning tonight about what led to the fight?
So, Jose, we now know that this latest incident began when the off-duty Delta employee reportedly tried grabbing the plane's PA system, and that began the altercation. Also, this is the third incident on a Delta flight departing LAX in the last 10 days, Jose.
Well, Venegas from LAX, thank you very much. With America reopening after so long under lockdown, people are gathering once again, doing all the things we used to consider normal. But with another highly contagious COVID variant circulating, health experts say it's a cause for concern. Kathy Parks reports.
Tonight, a reason to celebrate with more cities bouncing back with a full reopening, from packed outdoor concerts to stadiums filled with fans. Chicago becoming the largest city in the U.S. to lift capacity limits as COVID infections and hospitalizations reach an all-time low.
Now it's time for you to get up, get out of the house this summer, and fully and safely and enjoy the events of the best city on the planet.
In 3 days, California will also remove most restrictions and relax mask wearing.
It kind of represents this return to our lives that have been put on pause for the last year and a half.
But as a country tries to beat back the virus, vaccine doses are outpacing demand. And experts worry about the highly contagious Delta variant in the South.
So would you say that another surge, is that a possibility?
I'm bracing for a surge in the South. And it'll be different from what we've seen before because so many older Americans are vaccinated. The rate of adolescents being vaccinated in the South is under 10%. So I worry about a lot of pediatric hospital admissions, a lot of young adults getting sick.
A warning about the risks on the road to recovery. Kathy Park, NBC News.
Back overseas, it's been a busy weekend for the royal family, meeting world leaders for the G7 summit, along with a big 95th birthday celebration for the Queen. Tonight, a look at her legacy with past presidents as she prepares to meet America's first couple. Here's Sarah Harmon.
A flyby fit for a queen as Her Majesty officially celebrates her 95th birthday. After a royal charm offensive at the G7, insisting on a ceremonial sword to cut a cake. On Sunday, she'll host President Biden and the First Lady at Windsor Castle. Since 1953, the Queen has met every serving U.S. president except Lyndon B. Johnson. Her first, Harry Truman, during a visit to Washington as a 25-year-old princess. Later, she danced with President Ford at the White House and got President Reagan laughing at a state dinner in San Francisco.
I knew before we came that we had exported many of our traditions to the United States, but I had not realized before that weather was one of them.
The most memorable meetings haven't always followed protocol. There was President Trump's misstep in 2018. First Lady Michelle Obama's embrace was dubbed a breach of protocol by some, though Her Majesty returned the gesture.
What should we be watching for when Biden meets the Queen tomorrow?
Look for signs that the meeting between Biden and the Queen looks like meetings between other presidents before Donald Trump, a time when this relationship was very much in jeopardy.
Biden will be the fourth U.S. president to meet the Queen in this thousand-year-old castle. Tomorrow's meeting starts in the quadrangle with pomp and circumstance, followed by a private tea behind closed doors. Jose?
Sarah Harmon in Windsor, thank you. Still ahead, the life and death decisions, the overwhelming challenge facing our nation's immigration judges, and a new warning from doctors about the common cold, what you need to know.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy's done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com. Friday night on an all-new Dateline.
It's a horror movie that is your life.
It has been a bit of an untold story in a lot of ways.
Two unsolved murders, the clue that took decades to find, and the arrest at the ends of the earth.
I often wonder, did he try to put this out of his mind, or was he thinking about it every night when he went to bed? Were you just waiting for that knock on the door?
Dateline, Friday at 9, 8 central, only on NBC.
Today marks a solemn anniversary of lives lost.
Giancarlo Mendez Perez.
Bells tolled 49 times in Orlando, Florida this afternoon, honoring each victim of the Pulse nightclub shooting. That happened 5 years ago today. Now to our series, American Crossroads. As the immigration debate rages on, tonight an interview with the voices we don't often hear, judges who say their court system is overwhelmed. Here's Gabe Gutierrez.
With a historic rise in migrants crossing the U.S. border, one group on the front line says it's reaching a breaking point.
How many of you are frustrated with the immigration court system in the U.S. right now?
We spoke with four immigration judges, two active, two retired.
We strive to not permit our immigration courts and our process to become a conveyor belt of justice. We are acutely aware of the individuals that come before us, our responsibility, and their humanity.
Nationwide, there are about 500 immigration judges. They preside over asylum cases and decide who gets deported. When President Biden took office, there was a backlog of 1.3 million pending cases.
That in essence, we are holding death penalty cases in a traffic court setting.
Judge Dana Lee Marks says many judges battle burnout daily. There's not enough of them. They need more support staff. And they say they felt political pressure from their bosses at the Justice Department, which impose quotas to quickly clear cases.
If I have to move a case quickly through the docket, then that person doesn't have time to find an attorney to represent them because they're not entitled to an appointed counsel by the government.
And experts say not having a lawyer increases the chance migrants lose their asylum case. Judge Charles Honeyman worked in immigration courts in New York and Philadelphia until he retired last year during the Trump administration.
He probably retired a few years earlier than I would have.
Retired Judge Lisa Dornell worked in Baltimore, but also left the bench earlier than expected.
It was really, really heartbreaking to see the impediments that didn't allow us to help all of the children the way we wanted to.
The Biden administration has called for hiring 100 new immigration judges, but these four argue there's even more at stake, judicial independence to make life and death decisions. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, New York.
Up next, you won't believe what someone just paid to get a seat on a spaceship with Amazon's Jeff Bezos. Plus, why the common cold is now making a comeback. Amazon's Jeff Bezos is one step closer to blasting off to space, and today someone paid $28 million in an auction to join him aboard his Blue Origin New Shepard rocket scheduled to launch in late July. We don't know yet who made the big money bid, but the funds will be donated to inspire those interested in STEM careers. Here's a question for you. Have you gotten the cold or the flu over the past year? Well, cases were way down during the height of the pandemic when so many of us were isolating and wearing masks. But now that people are gathering again, the common cold is making a comeback. Dr. John Torres has details.
20-year-old Sam Hunt has been vaccinated for COVID, and as restrictions started to lift, he's been spending more time socializing.
I've been hanging out with a lot more people, a lot more mask-free.
But a few weeks ago, he got sick.
My symptoms started as a runny nose, a stuffy nose, a light cough, sore throat, and a lot of congestion.
The college junior decided to post about it.
Did anyone else recently get a little sick?
That struck a chord on social media. It's not surprising to doctors like Scott Joy and others across the country now seeing an uptick in common cold symptoms.
Tell me about what you're seeing as far as the common cold right now.
We're seeing a lot of people who have been vaccinated, but are still coming in with either allergy symptoms, a runny nose, a sore throat, a dry cough, some low-grade temperatures.
It's a consequence of the world opening back up.
We've been wearing masks for almost a year and a half now. We've been social distancing, not shaking hands, not hugging, doing all those things that we know can spread germs. Has that weakened our immune system to now where these colds can come in?
It's not that our immune systems have gotten weaker. It's the ability of the virus to transport to another person has been limited in the pandemic social distancing and isolation.
That's why Dr. Joy still suggests the three W's for keeping colds and flu from spreading. Wear a mask indoors at large gatherings, watch your distance to others, and wash your hands. And he says if you have cold symptoms, consider getting a COVID test even if you're vaccinated.
This summer, I think it's very important to prove that it's not COVID-19 than to just think it's not COVID-19.
A key distinction to remember as we inch back to normal. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Denver.
Still ahead, how this athlete beat the odds against COVID and what's inspiring him to keep running. There's good news tonight about an athlete making an incredible comeback and winning the fight of his life against all odds. About this time last year, 39-year-old Ben O'Donnell was struggling to recover from a near-fatal case of COVID.
It was the sickest that I've been. I felt
I couldn't move. I almost didn't make it.
The former college fullback and Ironman athlete was Minnesota's first critically ill COVID patient in March 2020. He was intubated on life support and not expected to survive.
Were you ever fearful of the future?
I had a lot of questions about the future, about what's going to change. From that point on, it's been, how can I be better tomorrow than I am today?
But to be better, okay, he first had to get better.
As you can see, I've got another big first today. I'm taking my walk and I'm doing my PT without any oxygen.
And so, inspired by his wife, Deanna, and five-year-old daughter, Ben decided to recommit to his training with a new mission in mind: to raise $10,000 through the Ironman Foundation's Iron Aid program to help those battling COVID and sky-high medical bills.
I had the best care in the world, and I was very privileged to have that. So whatever I can do to give back and help others that did not have the same fortune that I have is, I mean, I think it's the least I can do in this situation.
That spark of motivation got Ben back to the starting line.
Don't stop, don't quit, keep moving forward. That's all it is.
Pushing himself through a grueling swim.
Here we go.
More than a 100-mile bike ride and a full marathon at last month's Ironman competition in Tulsa. His commitment to helping others, getting him through the finish line, and meeting his fundraising goal.
Ben, you're the comeback story during America's comeback.
You never know what you can do until you try. To me, that's the big piece of this, is just pushing yourself to see what your limit really is, because as the Ironman motto is, anything is possible.
Ben continues his fundraising efforts as he trains for the Ironman World Championship this October. And before we go, I'd like to invite you to join my latest edition of American Dreaming. I'll be speaking with the founder of the company Edible Arrangements, Tariq Farid, about the challenges he faced as an immigrant growing up and growing his wildly successful business. You can watch on NBCNews.com/nightlyfilms or wherever you get your podcasts. That's NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. I'm Jose Diaz-Balart. Thank you for the privilege of your time, and good night.
One of the most amazing stories of it all.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.